Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you carried our sins in your own body on the tree so that we might have life. Grant that we and all who remember this day might find new life in you, now and in the world to come, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To some extent, we all have to be concerned about details. Details at home, details at school, details at work. Although admittedly, some details are more or less important than other details. As for me, I am a detailed person, which served me well as a television news producer and as a fine dining waiter. Although some may think that at times I'm too concerned about details that they at least think are less important. However, in the case of Holy Scripture, no detail the Holy Spirit has seen fit to record is unimportant. And that is true of the extended Passion account we have heard again tonight. For a little while, focus with me on the seven verses from and unique to St. John's divinely inspired gospel account that tell of the piercing of Jesus' side, which we heard at the beginning of this last section read. The verses illustrate God's miraculous control over what otherwise might have been insignificant details as he perfectly brought about our salvation through the death of the God-man Jesus Christ. As we reflect on the details under the theme blood and water, we even realize how we receive the salvation that Jesus won for us with his death. If you've been getting ready for family or other activities over these holy days, you know both that there are preparations to be made and that there is a deadline, a time by which the preparations must be completed. The day on which Jesus was crucified was the day of preparation, the Friday before the Holy Sabbath day, but not before just any Sabbath day, at a minimum the Sabbath day that fell in the extended festival of Passover, if not a Sabbath that happened to coincide with the Passover day itself. As that day drew to a close, a delegation of Jews asked Pilate to have the legs of Jesus and two others who were crucified with him, broken, and their bodies taken away, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on that particular Sabbath. St. John does not tell us precisely why the Jews did not want the bodies to remain. Maybe they were legitimately trying to keep Old Testament law. Or maybe they were feigning piety, and in fact were acting out of their own guilt over their role in Jesus' crucifixion, or out of fear that faithful Sabbath worshipers, seeing Jesus hanging there crucified, might create more of a problem for them. Regardless, they suggest what is called a crucifragium, the smashing of the crucified victim's shin bones so that they cannot put weight on their legs and will have more trouble breathing and die from suffocation sooner. Bible commentators differ as to whether or not this procedure shortened the victim's agony and so lessened their sentence, or whether such shortening and lessening were offset by the action's brutality. Imagine having your shin bones smashed. Again, regardless, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the other two. But when they came to Jesus, since he appeared already to be dead, they remarkably did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced Jesus' side. For them, the piercing confirmed that Jesus was dead. Dead, 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 dead. For believers, such as Jesus' beloved disciple John, who usually is thought to be the evangelist giving his own eyewitness testimony, the not breaking of Jesus' legs and the resulting piercing of his side meant and means so much more. The not breaking of Jesus' legs and the resulting piercing of his side took place, St. John writes, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The details matter. A number of Old Testament passages speak about piercing, such as Psalm 22 that we heard last night as the altar was stripped, which mentioned the piercing of Jesus' hands and feet. Similarly, tonight's Old Testament reading from Isaiah, although in a different translation, says that Jesus, God's suffering servant, was pierced for our transgressions. The Jews and the Romans had obvious roles in Jesus' crucifixion, to be sure. But so do we. As we heard, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his or her own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By nature, you and I are dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, 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 dead. We cannot save ourselves from the temporal death and the eternal separation from God that we deserve. But on the cross, Jesus suffered that eternal separation from God so that if or when temporal death comes, it is simply the gate to eternal life with him for all those who repent of their sin and trust God to forgive their sins for Jesus' sake. As our true Passover lamb, God, who takes away the sin of the world, not one of Jesus' bones was broken. The second person of the Blessed Trinity took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary as the man Jesus, precisely so that he could die for us. No doubt a sword pierced through Mary's own soul as she stood there and watched Jesus die. That God did not temporarily dwell in a man's body, but from his baptism, did not temporarily dwell in a man's body from his baptism to just before his crucifixion, as some mistakenly thought. But Jesus was God from water to blood, and he remains God still today. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. Not that there was anything inherently valuable about us sinners, but God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us sinners. As we are marked with his blood, the angel of death passes over us. In such unlikely ways as crucifixion and breaking legs, does God reveal his glory? For behind the disgrace is our redemption, revealed in the resurrection, where the pierced side and hands are important proofs. Revealed in the resurrection is what we heard in the epistle reading, that Jesus, our high priest, was tempted as we are, so sympathizes with our weaknesses, and has become the source of salvation for us who approach his throne to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. When Jesus' side was pierced, at once there came out blood and water. St. John the Evangelist essentially takes an oath, testifying to the truth of the matter. That's how important the event and its details were. In the immediate context, the details of the water and blood seem simply to confirm the death of Jesus and the fulfillment of the prophecy. But St. John writes elsewhere of how the Spirit, which Jesus gave up just a verse earlier, the water and the blood all testify. The Spirit is active in preaching and in words of individual holy absolution. Water and the Word in holy baptism creates faith that receives the forgiveness of sins. For such water of life flows from Jesus as from the temple of God. The body and blood of Christ are present, distributed, and received with bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar to sustain the faith created in baptism. As the first woman came from the side of the man while he slept, so the church, the bride of Christ, in a sense, came from the side of the second Adam while he slept the sleep of death. Church fathers, including significant Lutheran writers, have long understood that the word and sacraments that give us the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross themselves flow from his death on the cross, seeing them in the water and in the blood. St. John saw the water and blood and bore witness that we may also believe, and by believing have life in his name. We who turn in sorrow from our sin, trust God to forgive our sin and want to do better, we receive that forgiveness that he won for us with his death on the cross through the means of water and blood that flow from the cross. Like St. John, we bear witness or confess the truth and love our neighbors. And when we fail, with repentance and faith, we live in the forgiveness of sins. All of the extraordinary details of Jesus' crucifixion that he brought about, all the prophecy that he fulfilled, everything he did for you to be forgiven. That is the point, not only of Good Friday, but also of his incarnation and of all of the Holy Scripture. So, on the last day, when every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, we will not as unbelievers mourn or wail in regret, but we will as believers rejoice in his salvation that we receive here by water and by blood. Amen.